We're talking about needs out there in terms of our economy, in terms of people's professional ability to well, quite frankly, to live their life the way they want to live their life, which is one of the big issues is, you know, childcare. Are we doing what we need to do as a nation to compete against other nations in the area of childcare? Chris Jones is the executive director of the North Dakota Department of Human Services and good enough to come on with us and answer a couple questions. And I do appreciate that. Chris, good to have you back on News and Views.
Yes, thanks for having me, Joel.
You know, we were talking about childcare, and we were talking about whether or not this should be part of any infrastructure plan. And I won't drag you into the politics of that as much as what I'm looking to you to provide some type of guidance in regards to what's going on with childcare, the availability, the affordability. When you look at North Dakota and you look at a young couple with two kids that want to go back into their careers, what type of status do we have? Where do we sit in terms of childcare?
Well, I don't know how to put this, but I mean, in some ways, North Dakota is faring better than other states, depending on how they're ranked as it relates to affordability and availability. That being said, we're still not even close to where we need to be. So what I guess where I'd like to even start with this is, if this is okay with you, is that when I took the role as the director of the Department of Human Services, childcare was one of those things that came up. The previous executive director had created a lot of stress and tension in her both her professional and personal life. It was something we didn't want to talk about. I would look at the numbers would say, you know, just what I said. And it became something that I was just like, I'm not really interested in doing anything for childcare. This would be in August of 17 and 18. And then as time went on and you start to look at the budget of the Department of Human Services and you start to look at where the dollars are being spent, and then you look at it as the leader of an employer of 2,200 workers, with the vast majority being female, childcare kept coming up and coming up. And one of the great things about North Dakota is government leaders have the opportunity to get to know people and understand what's going on. And it just, I can't begin to tell you how clear it became to me after 2.5 years that if North Dakota is going to lead in anything, it needs to invest in 0 to 5. And I can come at that, if you'd like, from a workforce perspective. I can come at it from a behavioral health perspective, depending on what you'd like to come at. But I mean, I'm a educated adult male nearing 50, and it took me 2.5 years to figure it out. I'm happy to talk to anyone to explain why investment in 0 to 5 is so critical across a number of different facets. Because workforce is one of them, and I'm happy to bring that up because we're losing on multiple levels from being able to compete in a global world.
You say you're happy to bring that up, and I thank you for the courage to do just that, but what do we do? I mean, for a lot of people right now, they're saying, look, you know, you've got this opinion, you've got that opinion. What is doable? What if I was back in the legislature, Chris, and you said, look, it's the interim, let's build something here. What would you suggest to me that I should be doing?
Well, are you aware of the couple bills that passed this last session that related to early childhood and the investment in best-in-class programs across the state?
Go ahead and explain those to people, would you?
Yeah, so yes, absolutely. So what happened was, working with a number of different agencies, we realized it was important. With primary sponsor, I must mention the chair of House Human Services, Representative Robin Weiss, who is a conservative male legislator who's been in the legislature a long time. What we did was, because there were early childhood programs that existed in the Department of Health, Department of Commerce, Department of Public Instruction, and Department of Human Services, it was very difficult for the legislature to even know where the investments were being weighed and were those investments getting the return on investment and creating stronger families. So number one, it created an early childhood division within the Department of Human Services where those resources were put into one division. And secondarily, it created a program called the Best-in-Class Program for four-year-olds, where we are starting to provide grants to all types of four-year-old programs that exist across the state, not-for-profit, for-profit, faith-based, school-based. And we awarded those grants at the mid-August. And so we're just working through that to continue to see what kind of outcomes we get. by investing in four-year-olds across the state.
So to get a Robin Weiss and others to work towards that, as you mentioned, I served with Robin, so he has been there a long time. So to get him to recognize that some action needs to be taken, what was said in testifying? What was it that motivated these individuals to do that?
Well, it really started prior to session because, as I mentioned earlier, it was August of 19 when I realized that this is something that the state should look at. And I was like, who can I work with that understands human services, understands the investments, and with the ultimate goal, really, of being a fiscal conservative, is how do we reduce the growing spend in the Department of Human Services with not the outcomes that we want? How do we reduce the caseload? And so working with Representative Robin Weiss and a couple of other leaders across the state, the first thing we did was we took them to Alabama, Selma, Alabama, and showed them the program a very red state is doing to improve the outcomes of kids in schools. And they've been doing it since 2012. And they could show not only since 2012, those students are now through high school, not only did they have better grades, they had less disciplinary events, they reduced their spending in special education because now students were ready to school when they got there and weren't put into the special education program. So there were a number of benefits that they had the data to show him. And he's like, huh, I wonder why we're not doing this. And it's because I think it's this hearts and minds concept of, you know, maybe the woman should stay home and or one should not work and all of a sudden everything will be fine. Well, that's not happening. Number two, if we did that to our economy today, you want to see a recession, our economy would just tank. Hospitals would close, schools would close. So it's just not a viable alternative anymore to say someone needs to just stay home.
Well, and that's part of why the conversation came up today. And you know, you're talking to a man with six grandchildren. So my place in time in terms of this affecting me directly financially is gone. I mean, when you look at this whole situation that we have now, Chris, what I'm most worried about is post-COVID and where people are at in terms of saying, I don't need to go back. I don't want to go back. I don't have what I need to go back. And pretty soon we're sitting there with more help wanted signs out on the fence post. And so, you know, to hear that you went down to Alabama and had that conversation, saw the benefits of it. I mean, when do we start seeing some of that benefit in North Dakota? How long does the process take before I realize you can have an idea, but it takes a while to implement.
Yeah, so it is starting now. The next thing we are doing is we are working with a cross-section of leaders across the state and across the country to start talking about how we start to do early childhood transition and policy supports and workforce supports. So working with the Hunt Institute, they are bringing leaders from across the country. And meeting number two includes Cheryl Oldham from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The U.S. Chamber has been pushing investments in early childhood from a workforce and an economic perspective for a long time. And then another person is by the name of Mike Petters, who's the CEO of Huntington Ingalls, which is the largest shipbuilder. I mean, he's the quintessential white male CEO who has realized in order for the country to remain competitive, you have to invest in early childhood education and quality childhood experiences. And we have a couple other North Dakota CEOs that I don't want to name yet because they haven't fully committed to being part of that second meeting. But this is a workforce issue, even by itself. And so we just have to keep the dialogue going. And like I said to begin with, I don't consider myself an uneducated human or an unempathetic human. And I didn't think this was an issue at all 4 years ago. Yeah. I thought this was just not important. And it took me 2.5 years to get it. So the people who are struggling to understand why this is important, I understand that. And so how best can we help spread the message that this is important and start talking about what is good policy? Because just to be provocative for a moment, why do we invest so much money in higher education, but not 0 to 5? when 95% of the brain develops by the age of five. So then to that end, if women should just stay home, why do we educate women in college? It's a waste of my taxpayer dollars because they're not entering the workforce, right?
You've got people thinking.
I'm being provocative. Yeah, I know. I don't believe that.
I'm glad you're being provocative. I'm glad you're making people think about it. That's the whole point. Chris, can you hang with me for just a little bit longer? I got a couple questions here for you. Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network. Chris Jones, he's the executive director of the North Dakota Department of Human Services. We've been having a conversation in regards to childcare, in regards to how big of a piece of what we want to be someday and what we could be today, that is. Chris, a lot of messages coming in here, and this is why I thank you for hanging with us, that want to talk about, before school and after school, for lack of putting it a different way. People wanting to talk about, the education process that a child can get before school starts, before and after school care. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, let me start with this. Child care should be a local community issue. How best do communities care for, and frankly, children who are their most vulnerable? And in each community has its own assets that it needs to deploy. And I know I'm sounding like an economist, but that they need to deploy to best serve children and families. So I know I have a child, my youngest, who just started kindergarten, who has an excellent after-school program that is through the Bismarck Public School System. But I know each individual community comes up with them in their own way. But how do we look at it from a state funding perspective? I guess that's definitely something to talk about. But where I have to then back up and reemphasize, it's really the 0 to 5 where there's these massive deserts that is mm-hmm. having a significant impact on our yeah. workforce and on those children's ability to be ready to go to kindergarten.
Sure. I think that's one area that I think you've been very forthright in saying, look, I got to bring these legislators. They got to see this. Let me ask you, how big of a piece of peer infrastructure, because that's how we start labeling things. We start saying this belongs in that. If we don't have anything that allows childcare out there, where will we be economically in comparison to the states we're going to compete against and the countries we're going to compete against?
Well, we will fall behind in states. And again, I'm the governor's been very clear, we want to be number one as it relates to virtually everything we go into. So, I mean, one, let's figure that out. But as during the break, I just looked up the U.S. birth rate, and according to the most recent census, our birth rate's declined for 6 straight years and 19% since 2007. The U.S. birth rate is below 1.6. And so for a country to naturally replace its population, it needs 2.1. So, at the end of the day, you can't generate humans when we need them in the workforce unless people can afford to have children. And for all those families who have held off having children because they can't afford it, kudos to them for making sound economic decisions. But it's not creating what I would believe that our country believes in, which is creating strong, stable families. And to do that, there has to be kids to create that family, to create that workforce, to then support those who have invested in the country for decades before.
Well, you're spot on right. You're right on. And tell Governor Burgum thank you as well, because if that's the attitude that we're not going to grow economically, we're not going to grow family-wise, we're not going to grow educationally, we're not going to do all of these things unless we recognize that baby's part of us and they're part of our future, then by God, we're not going to succeed. So Chris, I thank you for this. Go ahead.
Can I leave you with one little nugget?
Yeah, as long as you say it in 30 seconds, so go ahead.
Okay. There is a new workforce where more and more employers are having people work from home. And so given that new workforce and given the workforce has more control than they've ever had before, more employers are going to let people work from home. Families are going to move to where there is the right infrastructure to create a family. And families rarely move for jobs. Or the number one reason they don't move for jobs is because their kids are in school. So if you want to create a strong North Dakota, you invest correctly in kids in families, and you will grow the economy just like that.
There. Nothing needs to be said after that. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Take care.